Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer. Brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Beer Nuts, number 70. We might have just had an anniversary. I'm not sure. 2 years of Beer Nuts. But that being said, my name is Chris. With me from MichiganBeerGuide.com is JR.
Hello.
Uncle Pete with us once again.
Cheers, everybody.
Lieutenant Dang, back in the house.
Hello.
And from listener, dreams can't come true, to Beer Nut, Greg, joining us once again.
What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
All right. So, it's for us, it is the waning days of September, when I believe this show posts October 1st. We were going to do an Oktoberfest show, but we already did that way back when we first started. But we decided to do Jericho All About the Last Minute, and we're doing German-style craft beers, basically German styles that are made here in the United States, not from the breweries in Germany. We got quite the mixed bag this week. We're going from light to dark. So we're going to get things going with a beer quote that's kind of appropriate right now. Throw it to JR for that.
Yeah, this really isn't German themed, but I will start off by saying Prost, everybody. So raise your glass, your mug, and crack open a cold one and join us. Our motto is we're not pretentious. We just like introducing people to new and interesting beers, and hopefully recruiting a few people along the way to the world of better beers out there. So, Prost, and the quote of the week, simply very appropriate for the times we're going through here. We don't get political on the show, and we're not about to tonight, but the quote is, the difference between a beer and your opinion is that I asked for a beer.
Hear, hear.
Prost to that.
So I'm actually going to crack open one myself. First one of the night. No warm-up beers tonight for me.
Can't say that over here.
So, well, that being said, we're going to start the show off with Lieutenant Dang from Missouri. Dan, take her away and introduce us to our first German-style craft beer.
All right. Well, I knew immediately where I had to look for in my local bottle shop. And that's from Urban Chestnut. They're out of St. Louis, and they mainly focus on German-style beers, craft beers. they they make a ton of beer. They're all over the place. I mean, make them all. And I've got tonight their Berliner Weiss. I've never had this one from them, so that was one of the reasons why I chose it. They have a new, supposed to be this huge beer hall that's supposedly really dang nice. I've seen some pictures. I just haven't had a chance to check it out yet on my trips to St. Louis. But this is a traditional Berliner. There's nothing additional added to it. It's called Kudamm, KU'DAMM. And if you Google that on the old interwebs, it takes you straight to the Wikipedia page for, I'm not even going to pronounce this right, but I'll try, Kurfürstendamm. And it's an avenue. It says it's the one of the most famous avenues in Berlin. And it says no trip to Berlin is complete without a stroll down old Kurfürstendamm. And anyways, traditional Berliner. A lot of times you'll see them traditionally served with a syrup of some kind, you know, elderberry or some different type of sweet syrup. But I'm just drinking it straight out of the can. It's got an awesome pull top. The whole top center of the can pulls open, so you have this huge mouth opening. I think all cans should have an opening like this. It's awesome. And here goes. First thing, I smell a little breadiness. More like I don't know. I don't really think a ton of banana and cloves, even though that's pretty traditional with a lot of German styles. But just kind of banana, bready, maybe a slight citrus smell, kind of pineapple-y. Oh, it's great. It's got kind of a lighter body feel, crisp on the tongue. Then that citrus kind of hits you right on the back end. Not as citrus, but it's just kind of tart. It's a great... great easy drinker. I could definitely enjoy these almost anywhere, anytime. This is really nice. They don't really have any additional information on it. So, I mean, I think it's just pretty straightforward, a traditional German Berliner. I would definitely recommend it if you're in the neighborhood or know somebody else that wants to help you get some of these, if that's your style. So, Prost.
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 Chris, you need to cue up that song, the Ein Prosit.
Oh, I was playing it behind him when he first started.
No, you have to play that like when you go to a beer festival. About like every 5 minutes, they play it.
Oh, okay.
So you need to
noted
after every beer, we have to play it. Because then when you're done, you have to say Eins, zwei, drei, sofa.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if you could make a successful brewery built on a lot of these styles, I would think you would have really good profit margins, because it's just a little bit of pale malt. And this one, it says it's 13 IBUs, which means there's like no hops in here. It's like no bitterness. A lot of them are pretty low ABV. I mean, it's got to be a pretty profitable beer in general. A lot of the German styles, you know.
What brewery was that again?
Urban Chestnut.
Urban Chestnut.
Yeah, a lot of Berliners are fruit flavored. There's is this just a basic no fruit to it, or?
Yeah, it's just basic no fruit. Yep.
Because I had one made by Evil Twin. I was going to almost introduce tonight that has passion fruit in it. Mm. I know I've had several, and I also know that when you're in Germany, it's a tradition there that they optionally offer you like a little blast of syrup with it.
Yep.
Like a sweet fruity syrup. It adds some fruit flavor and sweetness to it.
Their website that's really, says elderberry, blackberry, plum.
Yeah, that's a tradition, but actually not really that many people that really do that. Or I haven't seen it happen at many breweries. They just serve it as is. But in the good old country tradition, that's absolutely how they are offered there as an optional if you want to take that little shot of syrup.
Yeah, that tartness really, really stays on nice. This would be good on a hot day for sure.
Yep, it's also Berliners are known to be. It's a good kind of a starter for anyone looking to venture into the sour world, because they're not really strong, and they're usually fairly approachable for a sour. like a little bit of tartness, but not overwhelming.
Was that your gateway, JR?
No, I don't really know what my gateway was. I tried so many sours that I didn't like for a long time, and now I'm starting to like them, so it just took me a while to get over the hump.
His gateway was backwards bastard.
Well, I would not, hardly call that a sour.
No, I'm just saying that was your gateway.
That was his gateway to not drinking for good, I think, if you would harken back to last week's episode.
Drinking for evil. But anyway, yeah, the Berliner is a popular style for the summer, and of course going into this time of year, but again, on a hot day, it's not a really strong, not a high alcohol, so it's a good crushable beer that you can drink a few of, and it's slightly tart, but again, approachable for most beginner sour drinkers, so good beer to start off the show with. Thanks for introducing us to that, Dan. It's always pleasure having you on, because with most of us being anchored here in Michigan, it's great to get another perspective, and it's also great when Ross is on from North Carolina to bring us stuff from outside our normal area. So thank you very much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So we're going to move on to Uncle Pete next, and he's going to introduce us to our next beer this evening. So cue up that music, though, Chris. Come on, let's get festive.
All right. Need some oompa-pa. Okay, so glad to be here. What I've got to share tonight is Bell's Lager of the Lakes, Bohemian Pilsner by Bell's Brewing. Everybody knows from episodes past that I love good Bohemian Pilsner, and my favorite one, of course, of recent years is the reintroduction of the new Stroh's Bohemian Pilsner recipe. So I'm anxious to drink this one. I think I've had almost all of Bell's beers, but I guess I haven't had this one in the past. And it is a regularly available year-round beer from Bell's. It's a 5% ABV, and we'll open her up and take a pour, and we'll talk about it for a second. Pours very actively foamy. Very fine carbonation. I don't have a Pilsner glass right now. I wished I did. One of the reasons, you know, there's different glass designs for beers. You know, it's appropriate to drink certain styles of beers out of different styles of glassware. And my understanding is the tall, slender Pilsner glasses are actually meant to showcase the clarity and color of the beer. So, nonetheless, even though I poured this into a pint, a 16-ounce pint glass, this beer is crystal clear, fine carbonation, bright, white, foamy head. I've got it at probably around 40 degrees right now. The aroma just took over as I poured it, and it just dissipates. Real pretty, yeasty aroma. Color is golden, very light golden. There's no amber at all in there. It's on the very light blonde straw color, very low color scale. Let's take a sip. Very good. It's very dry. Has a nice hop finish. There's a sweetness in there. I get direct malt. Some breadiness, some sweetness from the malt and breadiness, but there is a long lingering now hop flavor profile. Most of the Pilsners, I would think, the Bohemian Pilsners probably use Czech Saaz hops. I don't know what hops are in this one exactly. There's nothing from the label or the Bell's website that gives a clue as to which hops are used. But this is a really good a good drinker, a good example of a Bohemian Pilsner. Full flavor. I would put it up, would love to put it up next to one of the Stroh's Bohemian Pilsners that I love so much. But being a Bohemian Pilsner, and it is made in the U.S., I'd give this one some pretty good marks, and again, would love to put it up against some other pilsners originating right out of Europe and see how it stacks up. That's my thesis here on the Bell's Bohemian Pilsner called Lager of the Lakes.
Sounds pretty tasty.
Yep,
right. Anybody else ever had this?
Yeah, no, I said no. I don't think I've heard of it until tonight, quite honestly.
I saw it in the store today.
Yep, it's in the store. I read on the website is it's usually on tap. It's a year-rounder. It probably doesn't catch a lot of attention because, you know, a lot of our craft beer friends like to go for the bolder styles, the bolder flavors, and the, you know, experimental beers and all that stuff. So, you know, this being a standard, it probably doesn't get a lot of attention. And that's what I love about our group and these podcasts is that we take the time to go over a lot of these beers and styles that we don't spend a lot of time buying every day. I did look for this style in the BJCP guidelines, and it's funny. There are a few categories for Czech lagers, but there are so many European beer styles that use Pilsner malt and can be in some way related to a Pilsner style. So there's a whole number of European lager beer styles that can be somewhat classified as Pilsners, and Pilsner just being one of the styles of lager. So,
well, Pete, you're right. A lot of craft beer snobs or aficionados, whatever you want to call, and then certainly some of us probably qualify for that category, do usually not find a Pilsner or lager interesting, or a Kolsch for that matter, the lighter style Germans, but they're classic styles and they're really important. They have a real important history in the evolution of beer in general. But also, I'd like to point out that sales trends are pointing in the right direction for these styles. The lagers and pilsners are making a comeback, and I've read several articles on that. And the other great thing about this episode we're doing is, you know, we've already done an Oktoberfest episode. We've already done a German beers episode. This is the first time we've done a German-style craft beer episode, because what American breweries are doing are taking these classic styles and they're doing what Americans do and, you know, bending the rules and, you know, putting their own twist onto them, and, you know, they're, you know, like a Kolsch on steroids. I've had Kolsches from some of the New England-style breweries like Trillium. Had a Kolsch that I had. I think it was called Big Sprang. You know, and they're hopping these things way up, you know, that, you know, these styles are, you know, Germans would probably never think of to do or, you know, dare to do, because they're much more traditional. And, you know, it is kind of cool to, you know, see what you come up with. So,
but, yeah, I agree, JR. The trend that we talked about this in the past, I remember, you know, I think part of the trend of coming back to some of these styles of beer is, You can get a pretty, you know, low to medium alcohol strength beer that's got great flavor. And if you like to have your, you know, beer fridge stocked as well with, you know, go-to beers that are your tweeners, you know, when you like to drink all the big, bold beers, but you can always fall back on, you know, lower calorie, lighter alcohol beers that have great flavor. This Pilsners and German-style beers and lagers are among those.
Well, I would agree. Thanks for bringing that one to the table.
You're welcome.
It's kind of rare that we would find a Bell's beer that most of us haven't tried. All right. Yeah, let's hear the music again before I introduce the next beer. Crank that thing up. Why? Dry. Zufa. When you go to a German beer festival, you no matter how much you drink, you can always remember the words to that. You know, it kind of rolls off your tongue automatically, like whenever they sing it. everybody gets very jovial and festive. So really had some great times. There's a brewery in Pennsylvania called the Stouts Brewery that is a German-style brewery, and they have a summer German beer festivals on the weekends in the summertime, and I remember going to those, and you know, they have the long picnic tables, and everybody sits next to each other, and the brats and the sauerkraut and everything, and potato salad. Really a great time. And then, of course, you know, every two or three songs, everybody stands up and does that. Then you do the ziggy-zaggy-ziggy-zaggy, oi-oi-oi. Really a good time. The Germans know how to have a good time. So we're going to move on to our next beer, because I'm thirsty, and I am drinking a beer called Kolsch 45. The Kolsch-style ale from Schorts Brewing, Bel Air, Michigan. Most of us are no strangers to Schorts, those of us who are from Michigan. So I had a couple selections here, but I love the name Kolsch 45. So Kolsch is actually an ale, but it's kind of brewed at colder temperatures like a lager would be, but it's brewed with ale yeast. It's native to Cologne, Germany, so a true Kolsch must be brewed in the German city of Cologne. But so if it's not brewed in Cologne, you call it a Kolsch-style ale. And, of course, Schorts being no exception, a normal, a Kolsch brewed to style from Cologne is about, I believe, about 5% or so. And, you know, it's a nice lighter straw, very similar to a lager, only brewed with an ale yeast, which makes it a little sweeter and a little bit of different flavor, not overly hoppy. And, of course, the theme of the show being what do Americans do, this particular one is 6.7%. It's only got 22 IBUs, so it's not really hoppy, but I've already poured it, had a few sips before this. It's a nice... Very nice effervescence in this, good carbonation level, nice solid head that is holding up well over time. You know, nice one finger head when it was poured. Really nice, pleasant aroma. You know, you get a good malt and just very slight hop, not much of the hops. You know, normally this is made with Hallertau. I don't know what. But Schorts is used in this. It looks and tastes very similar. It is a little bit stronger. It's 6.7. I'm going to take a sip and describe it. Yep, I would say, you know, just maybe a little bit of malt sweetness. Not too much different than a lager. I guess the difference would be just a little sweeter. This particular one, I don't know. Right up, I'm going to read it to you. It says, Kolsch 45 specialty beer is a unique warm fermented ale that is aged like most traditional German lagers at cool temperatures. Though light in body and color, its prominent hoppiness and radiant yellow straw color set it apart. The sustaining head retains prominent, pleasant aromas which aid in the crisp, refreshing nature of this beer. Hop bitterness is present but not overwhelming. So pretty much exactly what I'm experiencing here, you know. These beers are, there's not a lot to them in terms of they're not complex or anything. They are what they are. And actually, you could argue that lagers and pilsners are probably among the most difficult styles to brew because they must be kept at cool temperatures and they must be lagered for long periods of time. So you can't just fire one of these off and have it ready in a month like some of your ales. So, and even this with ale yeast, and it is warm fermented, so it's a little bit different than lagering, but you come up with a product that's pretty similar in flavor. And this is a pretty solid one. I'm enjoying it. Also would be a nice, on a hot day. So that's Kolsch 45 from Schorts. Has anyone else ever had this beer?
I have not. But have you ever had a coffee Kolsch?
I have.
Oh, it's delicious.
Sure, the Germans probably just go nuts when they see, you know, how we bastardized their style with coffee. And
But
higher alcohol. And
I would just hand them one. Here, try this. It's really good.
Uncle Pete just texted me. He fell off the call. Can you dial him up again?
Oh, yes.
Hopefully he can edit that out. If not, we can just do another Ein Prosit.
There we go.
And actually, the label on this beer says Kolsch style ale, historic German style ale with a northern Michigan twist. Not sure what that is, unless maybe they use Michigan hops. Doesn't really say, but
Michigan water.
It's a good solid one.
Made in Michigan.
I think the 45 refers to the 45th parallel, which
yes, you know, it
does. Close to Bel Air, so.
And actually, if you look on the label, it does actually have that line, and it going over Lake Michigan, I believe. No, probably Lake Superior.
Yep. No, Lake Michigan. Yeah, no, it's just north of Traverse City. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You know what? Now I see it. But they actually, you can see the other side of the lake too. It's a really interesting label. It's got like a. It's like a drawing. It's an animated drawing of, it says Kolsch either way, and it has the 45th parallel in the middle of the lake. And it's got a flag over Bel Air, and then it's got a flag over on the other side of the lake. I don't know what that's all about, but it might be Torch Lake. I'll bet you that's what it is. But anyway, cheers to Kolsch 45, or should I say Prost?
Prost.
We know in Michigan,
we found the lake Uncle is involved. Pete?
Oh, yeah. No, Uncle Pete has returned.
I am okay. Back. Sorry. All good.
All right, well, let's do a nightside drew so far, and then...
Well, for good luck.
Chris is on deck. Or actually, Greg is on deck. My mistake.
Sorry.
Why? Dry. Ziggy zucky, ziggy zucky, oi, oi, oi. All right, Greg, I think it's your turn. I'm going to sit back and kill this Kolsch.
All right, take her away. Very good. Well, I headed over to my local beer store, Merchant's Fine Wine here in Dearborn, and met with Chris over there and asked his advice on which styles he would recommend. And he pulled up Dead Guy Ale from Rogue, which is out of, what is the town here? It was somewhere in Oregon.
Bend, there. Oregon.
Is it Bend, Oregon? Newport, yes. Oregon, it says on the can. But we'll go with Bend. And 6.8%. This is a Maibock, or Hell's Bock, as they say. Description, at least on a Maibock, says that it's a, you know, it's a Hell's Lager, brewed to Bock strength. Strong as a traditional Bock, but lighter in color. And that's pretty evident here. It's not super light, but it's like a, you know, a little dark honey, deeper honey color. So, like I said, 6.8% ABV, 40 IBUs. Really easy drinking, little hop forwardness to it when you take a sip. But there's also a nice sweetness to it, almost like a caramel on there. Very delicious beer. It's not overpowering at all. Drinks really easy. I'm going to take a sip while I'm talking about it. Very delicious. I was unaware at the time that this was a... you know, German-style beer, and I think JR, you said the same thing when I told you I was bringing this on.
Yeah, I was shocked. I had no idea it was a German-style. Great pick.
Yeah, excellent pick. I thank Chris a lot. Chris Cook over there, Merchant Fine Wines.
Yep.
Definitely look it up. It's a great little can design. It's like a matte black finish with a cool little cartoonish, almost, you know, skeleton sitting there, holding a big old glass of beer with a little headdress on. I believe, according to Rogue's website, they first brewed this in honor of the Mayan Day of the Dead. I'm trying to find that on their website, but I'm pretty sure that's what they said. And this is dating back to the 1990s. So this one has been around for them for quite a bit, and I believe it's a year-round offering, so definitely check it out. It's a fantastic brew. So prost to Rogue for making this one.
Prost.
It was very popular amongst Grateful Dead fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That too, yes.
Yeah. Use your subtext, if you will, in there. I love Rogue. I have yet to have a bad beer from Rogue. It's my favorite brewery out west when I go to Oregon for work.
Out west.
Yeah, I liken it to it's their founders out there, but every beer is it's one of those breweries where every beer that you have, you can tell it's quality. They put some time, even though it's mass produced, they put some time into making this stuff.
You know, according to their website, you know, no chemicals, no additives, no preservatives are added to all their beers, so you know it's going to be high quality stuff. You know, and it certainly shows.
And Rogue is known to live up to their name for pushing styles to the edge. So that's probably why I never knew this was a German style, but glad to learn that. I know that they also are famous for those pink bottles, the voodoo donut. There's a peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
Beer. Does anybody remember some of those combinations? What was the peanut butter and banana one, I think?
The beard beer.
It's like Gorilla Grape was another one.
Yeah, what was the beard beer? It was cultured from an actual brewer's beard.
Oh,
yeah. The yeast was cultured from that. That's kind of disturbing. I don't think I would really...
You can go to one of their ale houses and get that beer. They do have it on tap.
There's a Sriracha one, too.
I have had that, and I actually like that because I like just about anything with hot stuff. But I was in the minority. Not everybody cared for that. But
I too, had that one. Know,
They do push the envelope, and they don't really care because they're Rogue.
That's right.
Yeah, it's in the name.
They also have I think they grow their own hops and grow their own malt and malt it themselves, mill it, and all that jazz. They have a beer or two that they do completely with their own stuff. Kind of cool.
Oh yeah, they make everything. They make their own spirits.
Farms. It is listed on this website for Dead Guy Ale at their website that it is says Rogue Farms Revolution hops is used in this, so that sounds like they're definitely using their own stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, while we're talking about all these styles, man, I saw one of the. I know this was just a little bit too mainstream for our show, but I saw the Shiner Bock today. I almost picked it up, but I'm like, nah, that's a little bit too common, but. But you know what? That's another one. That's another German style. That's Shiner down in Texas. That's a coveted beer in many places.
Yes, it is.
Maybe a little too mainstream for us, but I had to mention it at least.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool about them growing stuff. You know, I was looking at their site, and they grow their own pumpkins, their own rye, barley. They malt their own barley. They grow hops. They grow jalapenos, hazelnuts.
That's how they do it out there.
Bees. They got their own honeybees, and then they got turkeys, pigs, and chickens. Oh. Pretty busy, I would say. Grow your own. Wonder what else they're growing.
In Oregon, you do the math. All right. Well, I mean, Walmart. Ironically, since we're in Oregon, we're going to head up I-5 to Olympia, Washington for my beer, because it's from Leavenworth Beers. According to the website, the Northwest's original German-style craft beers. And drinking their Boulder Blend, don't want to mess this up, Dunkelweizen. Bottle says Alpine-style dark wheat ale. Just read right from the website here. It says it's 4.7 ABV. It's 25 IBUs, so yeah, this is I believe this qualifies as sessionable. That says Boulder Blend Dunkelweizen is an exceptional creation. This is an unfiltered dark Hefeweizen with gently sweet character, infusing its medium-bodied smoothness. Notes of chocolate and caramel mingle with a cereal malt flavor contributed by additions of malted wheat. Other Northwest examples of this classic German style are rare and few. Clearly, none are as tasty. I always talk about, at least for me, with a beer, as advertised, is pretty much the optimal thing you can do it. And it's like everything this says. I mean, truth be told, I've been drinking ahead. But, I mean, when you sniff it, I mean, it's sweet on your nose. I mean, you're picking up the chocolate you're picking up, you know, a lot of that, a lot of the malt. You drink it, it's got a medium mouthfeel. The head on this kind of hung out for a second and then went away. But yeah, we're kind of right in the middle here. maybe even getting to the side of a little bit thicker than your average beer, but it's not, this isn't a beer you can chew, as JR likes to say, by no means. I take another sip because it is delicious. And then, yeah, again, I mean, chocolate right up front, tasting a little bit of that caramel too. And then goes down nice and easy. You got that malt smoothing it out. Man, I only got one of these. I'm kind of upset. But, yeah, if you can get a hold of this beer. I mean, I'm in Michigan. It's from Olympia, Washington. That's 3,000 miles away. So if you can hear my voice, you can get this. Try it. I had to go to my I had to venture out of the grocery store for this episode. I'm lucky to live close to a grocery store that has an exceptional craft beer section. But this one you might have to go searching for. But yeah, Boulder Blend Dunkelweizen, Leavenworth Beers. With an I, by the way. Check them out. It's delicious.
Ziggy Zaki, Ziggy Zaki. Oi, oi, oi.
I was just about to play the song. You said like every Please 5 do. Minutes, right?
Can't get enough of that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we always used to say "Ein zwei drei sofa."
Ha.
I think it's sofa or something. But when you get toasted, you embellish it a little bit. What fun! What fun!
Yes.
So let's see where we're at here, Chris. Just okay. So we're back to me, and I actually posted a picture of three beers I was considering reviewing for this episode, and unfortunately, Dugout is out away on travel for his job and could not be here. But the one beer I had eliminated was the one that he recommended. So I'm going to go ahead and call an audible here. And I just poured the Great Lakes Brewing Company Dortmunder Gold Lager, Dortmunder style lager. This is certainly appropriate. Yes, it's known for winning medals worldwide, but locally it's known as Dort, our flagship lager that humbly maintains its smooth, balanced, and charmingly unpretentious ways. Brewed by Great Lakes Brewing Company, Cleveland, Ohio. So, what's even more amazing about this beer is the born-on date is 10/21/17, which is 6 days ago.
Whoa.
Brand new Kroger opened up right around the corner from me, and the grand opening was last week, so they must have got super fresh beer shipped in for that. So, this one's for Dugout because he requested that I introduce it, so I'm going to introduce it on his behalf. So I just poured it. It's really a little bit darker gold than the Kolsch that I had. A little bit, not quite amber, but a darker, nice darker gold, really rich looking beer with a really nice head. Smells really good. I can tell it's fresh. Not very much hops going on here. It's a traditional lager. So let's just dive into this and taste it. Oh, and that's good. It's got, compared to that Kolsch, it's got a lot more of a body to it. It's got that nice, crisp, malty flavor that you really like. There's enough noble hops in here to keep it, tasting just like it should. A little bit of that German noble, probably Hallertauer hops. It's really hard after reviewing all these beers that have layers and layers of tons of hops and a lot going on when you just have a basic beer that, sometimes when we're in our brew club meetings, a lot of the older brewers are this way. They're like, you know what? A good recipe doesn't have to have, 15 ingredients. Matter of fact, there's a guy named Alex in our brew club that when people are announcing what ingredients they went to the beer, he'll throw up what he calls a red card when you name too many ingredients. Because people try to overthink things and come up with these ridiculous, sophisticated recipes. And the Germans, they don't go there. They do what they do. They do it well, and they're basics. They're back to basics here.
It's called Reinheitsgebot.
That's what it is, and the Reinheitsgebot is the German purity law, which last year was the 500th anniversary of the purity law, which was enacted in 1516, which simply said that you can only produce beer in Germany using the four basic ingredients of water, yeast, barley, and hops. So all this coffee additives, you know, that would have been a huge violation of the Reinheitsgebot. But you know what? Sometimes it is nice to get back to basics, and this is a lovely beer. It's brewed perfectly to style. They win awards, and you know, it is like Uncle Pete says, it's nice to do these episodes because you kind of forget. You forget some of these basic beers, you know, we're always looking for, you know, a bourbon barrel this or a, you know, beer brewed with its five different kinds of hops and 90 IBUs. Well, you know, this is the opposite end of the spectrum where it's just, I know that the guys in my own brew club would love this episode because these are the kind of beers that they respect and admire. So hats off to the German brewing tradition and the Great Lakes. You got a winner here. This is, you know, an award-winning beer because they know what they're doing. And so, cheers, or prost, everybody. I'm going to drink this Dort.
I find it funny that Doug could not make it, but he sent a beer in his place.
Oh, I don't find that funny at all.
That's about right for Doug.
Sure is. So, we just about run the gamut here. I do have one beer sitting in front of me. I said everybody was going to have one beer, and I might be the guy that has three.
Oh, I got but other
I was
beers.
Hoping. Well, I mean, how are we doing on time? I think we haven't.
All right, about 40 minutes.
Well, we squeeze. Do you want to add one more? I'm going to finish with an Oktoberfest beer just because of the season. I figure that's a good thing to end on. But if anybody else has something they want to add, let's ad lib it in.
Well, while you're working on that, I will point out, and talking about end of seasons, we got the Cubs just clinched the division here.
All right, go Cubs.
End of the baseball season, beer and baseball, so that goes together here. And I know we got all kinds of different fans amongst the podcast, and I'm sure the listeners as well, but I'm a big Cubs fan.
Yeah, you got three guys sitting in Detroit. Dude, the season's been over for us since the 4th.
I went to the last home game. My son insisted I take him. Boy, I want to talk about a snooze fest. Yeah. They lost 10-2.
And they didn't wait for the season to end before they fired their manager.
I haven't looked at the standings in a long time, but the last time I checked, my Phillies were the worst team in Major League Baseball. So there is hope, though. We've have some good young players coming up through the farm. I think we're on the rise from our rebuild, whereas the Tigers are just going into the rebuild. Oh, could be a few tough years here.
The Phillies depressing. Were good for a long time, though. The Phillies had a good long run.
That's true, and we got a ring, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
I can live with that for a while. You know, I'll just sit here and drink my Dort and root for the Indians, I guess.
Well, there's nothing Indians better than...
Cubs. How about Indians and Cubs? So, two teams that hadn't won in a long time. Of course, the Cubs got it. Now maybe it's the Indians' turn. Well, my youngest son loves the Indians.
We can say that beer and baseball do go together. And in the theme of the German beers, all we're missing now is the Brats.
Oh, good point.
And actually, it was Budweiser, Adolf Busch, or I think that was the, I don't know, I remember whoever was responsible running the company at the time for making beer and baseball go together so well. And
August Busch,
thank you. And the distribution that we have now and the dating system. As much as we all want to poo-poo Budweiser and all the mega beer companies out there, it really it didn't exist before then. But now it's just a given. All those things we take for granted, but at all in cold cars and refrigeration and all that sort of stuff we have came from Budweiser.
Yep, that is indisputable. It's a shame that they're now owned by the evil empire AB InBev, but
right.
Certainly the history of the company. There's a lot to admire on August Busch and what he accomplished immigrating to this country and bringing his German beer skills with him. So
I think I was reading something about the St. Louis ball team was originally called the St. Louis Germans.
I did not know that.
Well, that wouldn't have flown today.
Well, yeah, I guess you could really get really trouble by calling them the Krauts. Yeah.
Well, here's my dilemma here. I have we already did a Pilsner. It's an Imperial Pilsner, though, from Shorts. So, like, two things we've already done. a brewery Andy style. And then a wit beer is just a wheat beer, right? They're just trying to be fancy. Because I got a Kamikaze Kaleidoscope from Dark Horse.
Oh, well, that should be an interesting one, the Kamikaze Kaleidoscope.
Right. What style is it? Is it a wheat
it
beer?
It says it's a wit ale brewed with lemon peels and orange peels.
That's probably more closer to a Belgian style. Yeah. But.
Yeah, wit beer, yep.
Well, if nobody else has any German style, I do have an Oktoberfest here. That
there you go.
Probably one that we can invite our entire listening area to enjoy with us. Hey, if you don't have it now, you can run out and get one before Oktoberfest season is over.
Hey, you're the Michigan beer guy. Sometimes you have more beers than us. It's crazy.
And actually... Yes,
indeed.
Actually, I went to that new Kroger, and they had this huge window with single sales, but you had to buy six for $9.99. So mm-hmm. I bought three German styles and then three other beers that I hadn't tried just to get a few more beers off my untapped checklist. But this is a beer I've never, Oktoberfest beer I've actually never tried. So it's certainly no stranger to Sierra Nevada, one of the iconic craft breweries in the United States. Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, brewed in collaboration with Brauhaus Miltenberger, a brewery I've never heard of. I'm not sure where they're from, but I'd love to find out. Maybe we can do a little legwork. And it's their 2017 Oktoberfest Fest beer. It says fall seasonal one time only, so this might be a one and done. The back of the label says we partnered with Brauhaus Miltenberger, one of Germany's most highly regarded craft brewers, to create an authentic festival beer for your Oktoberfest celebration right here at home. We're focusing on a depth of complex flavor in this amber lager, using traditional techniques to create layers of rich malt notes that remain light and crisp. Without further ado, I'm going to pour this in. Oh, yes, the Scorpions, one of my favorite German bands.
Yes.
Okay, oh boy, this is crystal clear. I mean, this is one of the clearest beers I've ever seen. Really, really pure, solid looking. Gosh, the guys in my brew club would be so impressed. They cringe when they see the New England hazy IPAs. They strive for this. This is a clear beer that I've ever seen. Really, really, by far the most healthy head that I've had on any beer. It was like about two fingers, now it's down to one. Okay, well, let's smell it. Not really hoppy. Just it doesn't smell much different than the last beer I had, the Dortmunder. Maybe a little bit a biscuity smell. Let me dive in. Oh yeah, there's definitely much more a maltier flavor. As they said, it's like a dark amber lager. It doesn't appear really any different in color than the last beer I had. It's not darker as an amber would be, but it's definitely just a tad clearer. It's just super crystal clear. Really nice, malty, biscuity flavor to it. There is a little bit more complexity, as the label said. With it. Really crisp. It's delightful, and I can see, I could actually see drinking this out of a liter mug. It's got tons of flavor, yet it won't completely fill you up, which is really what it's all about, because you buy beer by the liter.
Yeah, didn't we discuss Oktoberfest as a marathon, not a sprint?
That is correct. I don't know what the ABV is on this. I didn't see it on, but I would think if they collaborated with a German, it would probably be closer to what it, you know, an actual best beer would be. Let me see. I don't see it on the label. It's not on the label. I'll have to look it up. But it's. I don't think it's. I don't think it's. It's probably right around 5.5%. I think. Truly, really easy beer to drink, but it actually has more flavor than anything I've tasted this evening. Not a slight to the other beers in any way. They're brewed to style, but this has got just a couple layers. Like I said, a little bit of a biscuity malt and a little bit of more dark, slightly darker, like a little roasty, slightly roasty flavor. Really very nice, but cool, very crisp, clear, and... I could crush a liter of this, no problem. And I would want more because it tastes good. So really, it's great beer to end the night with, a Oktoberfest, a fest beer. You can be festive with this, really enjoy the flavor. and drink a few of them, and before you're falling down that hill, passing out, like I see all the pictures.
What? That happens? Come on.
What?
Have you ever looked up Oktoberfest online, and you can see pictures of some patrons have a few too many of those liter pints, and they just kind of take a little nap, and there's a big hill, and you can just kind of, you know, recline on the hill and use the grass as your pillow for a little. Well, then you probably wake up and, you know, maybe hit the restroom and go back and get another liter.
It's a
marathon, not a sprint. Women.
I like the images of the beautiful women with the four or five big mugs of these beers, and they're coming towards you to serve you. And I'm like, yeah, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We have a friend who's there now, JB. As Pete knows, JB from one of our local beer groups, he's there right now, and we've been living vicariously through him every day, sending pictures over of the one day he got dressed up in the get up with the lederhosen, and he looks like he's having a fantastic time, and not to mention that he went to Belgium before that and on a beercation, so. I think he'll be resting his liver when he gets back.
That's rough. He's certainly.
Yeah, I would love to take that trip 30 years ago.
He's experiencing a state of what they call Gemütlichkeit.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you describe what the meaning of Gemütlichkeit is?
A feeling of warmth and good cheer and friendliness, the kind of atmosphere you love to have when you're drinking beers with your friends.
And if you listen closely in that song we've been hearing all night, it says, ein Prosit, der Gemütlichkeit.
Oh, this song?
Yep.
Ja, der Gemütlichkeit.
How many times do you think he's heard this song?
Well, 1,500. Sufa. Yep, it's just the meaning. I'm looking at the dictionary here. It says geniality or friendliness, but the warmth, the friendliness that you have when you feel good after a few beers, and everyone's your friend. So you got those big rooms with everybody seated together, strangers, and nobody leaves strangers. You're all friends by the third leader. In most cases.
Here we might call that drunk. But, you know, over there.
We might. Gemütlichkeit.
Yes.
All right. Well, great episode, guys. You know, it was kind of interesting because we're used to, like, kind of rambling on about the different elements of the beers. And these are basic beers. There's not, you know, any sophisticated recipes. A lot of great history behind the beers, and you know, we covered that when we did a German beer episode years ago in the Oktoberfest episode, but we can see that, you know, some breweries brew the beers, you know, right to the style they're supposed to be, and other breweries, you know, push it to the limit, like the Rogues and, you know, the Trillium one I told you about, and there's a lot of people making Kolsches with all kinds of, like, you know, instead of 24 IBUs, they're 80 IBUs, and, you know, pushing these styles to the limits. But that's what Americans do. They take something and they make it their own, and, you know, they take the skeleton of the recipe, of the traditional recipe, and then they add to it and make it their own. So that's just what we do here, and there's no, as we always say on our show, there's no right or wrong. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Some of these styles are, you know, not desirable to everybody. Other ones, you know, like when I go to my brew club meetings, you know, not everybody, some of the older traditional guys, they live for these kind of styles, and they cringe when a New England IPA comes out. But, and then there's other guys that are younger that are like, you know, oh, gosh, another Kolsch, do I have to drink that? I'd rather have this New England IPA. But fortunately, when our brew club meets, whoever brings beer gets to introduce it and pass it around the room, and that's how we roll. So that's how we roll. We're Americans, and we're different, and we embrace diversity. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Prost.
Prost.
So we'll go around. Anybody has any closing comments? And then we can hear the song one more time and head to Mexico.
Let's say next week, you guys got an interesting show on tap. It's show meeting while we're still recording, but yeah, you guys are all set for next week to do your thing. You want to kind of talk about what's going to be going on next week, JR?
Well, I'd rather let Pete introduce this because, first of all, congratulations to Pete because by next week's episode, he will be officially retired. So congratulations, Pete. That,
Congrats.
I appreciate
that. There's going to be more days of work.
There's always been a lot of beers flowing, but this is going to be a good reason to have more beers flowing.
And, so Pete had an idea to do a special episode, and I'm going to let him. I don't want to steal his thunder. So, Pete, why don't you tell us where we're going to be next year and what we're going to – next week, I mean, and where we're going to record the first episode after your retirement.
Yeah. So one of our local watering holes, the Oak Cafe in Wyandotte, Michigan – a good fellow beer nut friend of ours runs it, and we reached out because next week, Wednesday, they're celebrating a Founders Brewery 20th anniversary, and they're going to be pulling out all the stops and pulling out all of the specialty kegs of Founders beer that our friend is known for sitting on. And aging and keeping them cold. And there's going to be some interesting multiple-year barrel-aged beers so we can do some verticals and just some other specialty backstage releases and stuff like that. So we're looking forward. We always like to celebrate Founders, and any reason we could have to celebrate Founders is good enough for us. So 20 years in the business and making great beers is we're looking so forward to it. So yeah, we're going to be together at the venue, and we're actually going to interview the owner, Mike, and we're going to have a great time, and it's going to be fun because we'll be in a kind of a live, well, let's say a gemütlichkeit atmosphere, right? So there should be some good cheer and fellowship going on, and maybe a little extra input from some of the folks around us.
Yeah, and we'll also have, I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that we'll have a rep from Founders that we'll be able to interview as well. I know one particular rep that I believe will be there. I won't say his name, and I won't promise until I can confirm, but it's going to be a great episode. We're going to celebrate one of the iconic craft breweries in Michigan and throughout the country, and we'll also be tasting three vintage beers of my personal favorite beer ever, Backwoods Bastard, barrel-aged Scotch ale. So I'm excited. Pete's excited. And, you know, we'll also be celebrating our first episode with Pete as a AARP officially retired member. So,
and I did get my AARP card. I'll be transparent. I have it.
And I well, won't be there, but I'll be on a plane to Vegas. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me.
I wonder if you can get an AARP discount on good craft beer.
We can try. I actually have a card, too. So
give them the card. See what happens. You never know.
Well, we are most grateful to our friend
Media.
Mike at the
Let's
Oak
Make
Cafe.
Some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the
technical difficulty.
I know we're anxious for that episode, but
yeah, no, right.
So anyway, no. Thanks to Mike for having us next week. I know he's going to have a full house, but he's going to make sure that somehow we're able to pull this off and record it. Hopefully, the whole episode from there, if not, certainly segments where we can interview some folks at the pub. And really looking forward to it, and we hope you are too. So, any closing comments, everybody?
No, hey.
Had a great time. Loved all the beers.
Fantastic episode.
Yeah, I want more of this Dunkelweizen. That's my comment.
Yeah, it was a good one. I'm glad we did this. This is something a little different. And as always, you can follow me on Instagram, Dan Geiss, G-E-I-S-Z, a good German name for you.
Prost.
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 Let's hear that song one more time.
One more time.
You find me on Twitter at Michigan Beer Guy.
Yes.
Uncle Pete, you're on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's One Hip Daddy-O.
All right.
And, hey, Beer Nuts Podcast, also on Twitter. You can follow us. We're on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. You know, show us what you're drinking. I'll get the show kicking again. Start firing that thing back up again. And you can email the show, beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net. It is really, whenever I look at the download statistics for this show, I'm blown away simply by the fact that, you know, we didn't put out any content for 2 months. People are still downloading, finding the show, downloading every week, keeping up. You know, it's, and then when we release a show, it's even more astounding. So it'd be 2 years ago, we thought there would be, you know, a listener base for a craft beer podcast. And you guys have proved us right. Working on new glasses. I know I keep saying that, but talked to him tonight about it. So hopefully we'll have some glasses for you soon. Check out the guys next week. Maybe it'll be a whole show. Maybe it'll be interviews. But they get to go to a fancy beer tasting party that I get to miss. But thanks, everybody, for listening. And JR, I guess it's time to go to Mexico.
Yep. Before we go to Mexico, just wanted to say we're recommitted. We are now on schedule to do one episode a week. So we had a nice break there over the summer, but we're back in the saddle, and look for us every week. Just about every week we should be cranking out an episode for you. So see you next week from the Oak Cafe. And as they say in old Mexico City, AMF.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.